where they reside today. And Brian blessed us with a lesson this morning in class earlier, and for everybody that came out yesterday afternoon, had a little bit of a chance to fellowship and meet with Brian and his family. It was a great time, a little warm yesterday, but it was good to have everybody that was able to come out, and again, hoping that you'll stay. Brian's been in ministry for 20 plus years with youth ministry and pulpit ministry and working with the Church of Christ in various locations in Oklahoma, and so just welcome and glad to have him as part of our worship service today, and pray that you'll open your hearts and minds to the word and the message of God today.
Well, if I've not said it yet, let me tell you, good morning, church. I thought we would go this morning, kind of open up our minds and our hearts a little bit, and you could help me fill out some blank questions and it'll kind of get us into our theme and our idea for this morning. So let's do this. If I start a phrase, if you could finish it for me. Don't make promises you can't. Very nice. There's no place like
home.
Okay, that depends on where your home is, but that's probably true. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer, right? Good guys always finish last, right? Now, this is one of my favorites. This one I was told several times when I was growing up. Fair's where you go to get, you know this one? Cotton candy. So that's where fair is. You go there to get cotton candy. All right? Life is like a box of? You never know what you're going to get. Now, I'm not for sure if that's really true. I'm not a chocolate eater, and some of you all got to meet me yesterday. You knew that. I'm allergic to chocolate. But I've given out a lot of chocolate over my days as a fellow. And I can tell you that in that chocolate, there is a box underneath. Underneath there is a diagram of what's in that box. And I've noticed something about that over the years, that there is a certain point where people don't like that box of chocolate anymore. And I don't know if it's like that with you guys, but there's certain things that you just don't like in that box of chocolates. So life is like a box of chocolates, as long as we get the things we want, is what I think it should be, right? Because there's some people, they don't like the coconut filling one or the one with the extra nougat or whatever it is. And like I said, I'm not a chocolate person, so it makes no difference to me. It just all looks gross. But I know that I've watched over the years people going, and I've seen you get this nice big heart of chocolate, and they're looking down, oh, I love the one with strawberry, and they'll eat that one. And there's normally those two or three that just kind of are left there. They're the ones like, oh, yeah, if we have somebody over, we'll kind of share that, because, you know, that's the leftovers, you know. But life is like a box of chocolates, okay? What I want to talk to you guys about this morning is this idea and this concept that life's not fair. And that's just the reality of the world that we live in. We want in our world today, we want everything to be fair. And we have a culture that tries to even everything out and make everything fair and everything just. And everybody gets the same thing. But what I've found over time is, that's not really what we want. What we want is for us to get what we think is fair. There's a big difference. Because when we get what is fair, we don't really like it that much. Because what I found is that whenever we actually get what we deserve, it's not what we thought it was going to be. So a lot of times, whenever we don't feel like we're getting enough, then we want it to be fair. And when we get extra, that's a bonus, right? Think about it. When was the last time you went through the drive-thru and they shorted you your order of French fries and you went, yes, that's great. It's fair because I'm sure somebody else got an extra set. And you don't think about the week before whenever they gave you the extra two chicken nuggets when you're like, bonus, right? You didn't think about that short of somebody else. You thought, well, that's more than fair, right? But whenever it doesn't go in our favor, man, that's just not fair. And parents, you know what I'm talking about, right? If you've got kids, you've heard this phrase over and over and over again. It's just not fair. But they got this. Now, some of you guys over here, you've got older siblings and younger siblings. You will see this so abundantly over time. And it doesn't matter which sibling it is. They all talk about how it's not fair. The oldest one, they get to do things first. So that's not fair. A lot of times, the oldest one, they're like, when it comes to getting a car or whatnot, they get the worst car out of every one of them, right? And then by the time the youngest one's there, the parents are just so tired, they'll just give them whatever they want. And the oldest one's looking going, that's just not fair. When I was there, I had to do da-da-da-da-da, and I didn't get this and this and this, and why do you get your own room, and I didn't get this, and right? And on the back side, the younger one, in the middle one's just kind of like, I'm just washed in the middle of everything. I don't get anything. Right? And so when we talk about our faith and whatnot, don't we do the same thing to God? We look at the culture that we live in, and we look at people that don't live godly lives, that don't do the right thing, that cheat on their taxes, that do all these wrong things, and they are blessed. And we look at that and we go, it's just not fair. It's not right. God, that's just not right. And if we're not careful, we start getting this idea that we think that we want God to bring fairness to everything and balance everything out. But my challenge for you guys today is, I'm not sure that's really what we want. If you look back in some of the writings in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes 9:11 says, I've seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. You know, Solomon just says, fair, that's just not real, right? And if you go over into the Psalms, there's an entire psalm in Psalm 73 that talks about how unfair things are. The psalmist writes in there, he says, it's just not right. These people that do the wrong things are blessed. God, it's not fair. And he says, the wicked get all the breaks. And we start looking at that and we start thinking to ourselves, yeah, that's right. When's it my turn to catch a break? And Jesus even talks about this a little bit. And if you go into Matthew chapter 20, Jesus starts to tell the story of these workers in the vineyard. And I'm going to do a quick synopsis so we can move on to some other things that go along with this. But in essence, the story, he hires the owner of the vineyard, he hires his workers first thing in the morning, and he offers them a great day's wage. And they get up early and they start working, and they're excited to make this money. And as the day goes on, the owner of the field, he realizes they're not going to get it done. And he goes back to the work pool a few hours later, and he hires some more people to come out there and work. And he hires them at the same pay for the day. And they come out and they start working. And as the afternoon comes, he realizes, I've got to have some more workers. And he goes back time and time again, and he keeps on bringing the workers, even to the point where there's just a couple hours of daylight left. It's almost done. And he hires another group of people that come in at the end of the day to work. And they get the field clean, and it's done, and they line up for their pay. And the guys that have only been there for a few hours, they come in, and they get paid a full day's wage. And they're thinking, wow, look how well I was paid to work for just a few hours. And our mindset automatically, I think, goes to the ones at the beginning of the day thinking, woo, if he's paying that guy for 2 hours, an 8-hour day, I can't wait to see what my pay is going to be because I was here since daybreak. And as he's doling out the money, and as Jesus tells the story, he gets to the people who began at the beginning of the day. And they walk up and he says, well, here you go. And he gives them what he contracted them to do the whole time. And they get upset. That's not fair. That's not right. I worked four times as hard as he did, and he got paid the same as me. And the owner says, what, Tony, remember? But this is what I contracted you for. I gave you this promise. Here it is. I'm giving you what I said I would do, but that's not fair. That's not right. And Jesus comes back on that and says, don't be jealous of other people that get the blessings at a time later on, because you get this incredible blessing of eternal life. You don't need to worry about fair I've got this. I will take care of you. It's more than enough. I don't know about you all, but our kids, there are times where if we're dishing out the, somebody said ice cream earlier, we're dishing out the ice cream, it is like measured, right? Because if one scoop is bigger than the other one, it is not right, you know? And I love how, you know, we pull the whole Solomon trick where we get the one candy bar, we're like, okay, you cut it and she picks it. You know, and then all of a sudden it's the measuring sticks getting out. And we got to, I don't want to cheat myself. But the fact of the matter is that it was just a bonus anyway, right? And as we go through, what I want to challenge you guys with is that God doesn't call us to be fair. That's not what God wants at all. The truth matters, if we get fair, we're in trouble. We're in a lot of trouble. Because fair is, you sin, you don't get to go to heaven. That's fair. I gave you the parameters, you broke them, you don't get it. Well, I don't like that fair. That didn't work for me. But that's fair. Well, that's not the fair that I want. See, God calls us to do something different. Look at Mark 9:35. It says, sitting down, Jesus called the 12. He said, anyone who wants to be first, they have to be very last and a servant to all. Jesus said, this is my version of fair. This is my version of life. Do you want to have something great? Then you give something great. Why? Why are we okay with that? Why, if we want to have this incredible relationship with God, why do I have to make what the world looks like is totally unfair? Why do I need to sacrifice my time and my money and my efforts to get that? Why can't I just get like everyone else? God, why don't you make following you easier? God, why can't we just make it to where if they're bad people, they don't get anything, and the better that I am, the more I get? And God says, I've done that. I've done that. I said, follow me, you get eternal life. I've done that. But in our minds, we're still looking at small scoops of ice cream instead of what's the real picture there. And so God calls us to do something even more. He says, blessed are the merciful, whenever we talk about the Beatitudes, for they will be shown mercy. God says, here's how my people establish fair. We show mercy. When everyone else says, no, let them get what they deserve, I say, no, give them mercy. That's fair. But why? Because I've given you that mercy. God wants us to play on this playing field that is the same one that He established for us. And sometimes if we're not careful, we end up being more like the 8 a.m. worker instead of the 3 p.m. grateful worker. And God says, no, you're my people. You have been given everything. You have been given mercy, so show mercy. He says, God says this to us, God's love is too much to be fair. Think about it. Those of you all that have children, are you fair with them? Is your love to the point of fairness? Or is there more? Do you guys want your parents to be fair? Or do you want them to love you above fair? It's a whole different world, isn't it? Fair is, hey, you got a speeding ticket, you're never driving again. That's fair. In my world, that's real fair. Right? Fair is, oh, great, you're a teenager, now you can supply all your own stuff, buy your own clothes, do your own thing, everything else, right? Fair is, oh, you need something to go here? Sorry, you have not done enough of this, that, or the other. But instead, as parents, it's innately in who we are, because God establishes us, He is the Father, as we are the fathers and the mothers, that we look at our children and we love them so much that fair is just not good enough. I want more than fair for my kids. And God wants more than fair for you. You see, the Old Testament was fair. Here's the law, don't break it. Fair. When you break it, this will happen. Fair. But God says, I've got a bigger plan than that. Because fair doesn't make me connected to you anymore. I need more than fair. I need you. And God says, I need my relationship with you. And so if my relationship with you means that we're not fair anymore, I'm okay with that. It's going to cost, and it's going to cost more than what you can handle to make it fair, and I'll pay the brunt end of that. I mean, how many of us with our kids have said, all right, you have to pay for your own gas, right? We make those little, it's not only, it's not only, you've got to do this, but, I mean, we fork out some serious cash for the car, right? Remember that insurance? And we stay up to sleepless nights that it takes worrying about them to start going out and doing things. And we make sacrifices. And we do it without begrudgingly doing it. My daughter just got married a couple weeks ago. And I'm telling you now, it's not fair paying for a daughter's wedding. That is not right. I cringe thinking about it, but the moment it was beautiful and she loved it, and at that moment when I saw extreme bliss and happiness and the beauty of what that moment was, it didn't need to be fair. I just needed that. And God looks at you the same way. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. He didn't send Christ in here to be fair. He sent Him to bring mercy. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. You're right. Life is not fair. And when we play in the worldly realms, it will never be fair. And you're going to look at things and it's going to be frustrating with you when you see it with worldly eyes. Life, it looks like it's not fair in a bad way. But when we look in spiritual senses, it is more than fair. I am more than blessed. I have the opportunity to raise my children following Christ without persecution. I get to live in a free country where I can express myself as I please. I get to gather with you great people this morning and worship our God without fear. Life is more than fair. I can lay my head down at night and not worry if Christ were to come tomorrow, because I know what sacrifice has been made for me and I know the commitments that I've made. And I have no fear at all of the future, because life was not fair. And it's a beautiful thing. And when we can get past that mental image of the world's fairness, we can get into a spiritual realm of how unfair it is, it changes our whole perspective. In 1 Peter 5, 7 and 10, it says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Peter tells us, you're right, life's not always going to seem fair. But there is a Redeemer that's coming. That's going to swing the pendulum the whole other way. And this could be so much more than fair. Just hang in there. Because mercy's on its way. It's here for you. And as we go out to our world, as we go out to the people that we're around, and we work with, and the people at our schools, and the people that we live next to, and we watch them go through incredible struggles as far as the world's concerned, and we watch as they're looking at things, and they have family members who are dying with illnesses, and they have kids who have walked away from everything they've known, and they've had people who've made bad choices, and they've got wrecked marriages, and they've got kids with disabilities, and they've got all these different things going on in their life, and it looks so unbalanced, and it looks so unfair. We have this incredible message for them that yes, the world looks unfair in a bad way, but our Lord Jesus Christ is the Redeemer who changes everything that's unfair, turns it around, makes it something new, and we've got an incredible future that is so much more than fair. And why would we settle for fair? Fair is garbage in what God gives us. I don't want fair. He wants more for me than fair. Fair is not good enough anymore. The cotton candy just didn't cut me. It's more than that. Last point I'm going to make with you guys is that God gives us mercy so that we can give mercy. It's a pay it forward thing. God makes our life more than fair so that in our small little part of what we do, we can also make it better for someone else. Scriptures say it very clearly. In 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4, it says, "Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." He says, "I have given you this so that you can give this. I have changed your dynamics. I have changed your mental attitude. I have changed who you are. And you have the opportunity and the blessing to do the same for somebody else." It's so hard as we are in the world to watch people struggle and feel helpless, isn't it? It's so difficult to watch people suffering and feel like there's nothing that we can do. But I'm here to tell you, church, that at least according to this scripture, maybe we just don't realize what God is already doing for us. Maybe we just don't acknowledge that enough and understand the parameters of what fair is. Because when we do, we have been empowered for those in any trouble, things that we can't even relate to, any trouble, can find comfort because we expose ourselves enough to say, you know what, I've struggled too, and here's where I found relief. It's not in a bottle. It's not in another bad relationship. It's not in your work. It's not in your money. It's not in the things that you prize possession-wise. You can't find comfort there. If you work diligently as you're struggling with people in the world, and you work it all the way up to fair, you're still lacking. Because fair is not good enough. It's only through our Lord that you get more than fair. And honestly, that's all what we really want. Like I said at the beginning, none of us want what everybody else gets. We want something more. God calls you to have something more. God desires for you to have something more. As a matter of fact, he sacrificed enough to make sure that you had something more. So when we look at the picture now, as we began, it was like, dear God, it's just not fair. I look back at the picture now and I think, as he's looking at the skyline and he sees the beauty that's around him, I wonder if he's just shaking his head, going, God, it's just not fair that you can love me that much. It's not fair that you can bless me even though I've done all these things. But I'm so glad it's not fair. I'm glad for me. I'm glad for my children. And I'm glad for you. So we have a responsibility as a church to spread that message that life is not fair. Is so much better than fair. We may have someone here this morning that you've been feeling like life has just been beating up on you. And when you heard not fair, you're like, I'm living that right now. I'm here to tell you today, you don't have to stay there. God has a bigger plan for you. God has the ability for you to change things around. And yes, the world may still look unfair, but when you change the perspective and the look of what you have, nothing else really matters. And it's so much better than fair. And you may need that today. You may need to come forward and just say, just pray for me that I can get my perspective in so that I can see how much better it is than just fair. There may be someone here this morning that's not made his commitment to Christ or her commitment to Christ and wants something better than just the world that they live in. And we want to offer that to you, too, through baptism today. And if you don't know exactly what that means, there are elders here that would love to study with you and show you what that means and show you why the people that sit around you can be so happy and jovial and content in the midst of struggles, that they can find joy and happiness because of this. And there may be some of us here today that we've just not really shared that message with. Maybe we've just not run across our scripture that tells us because we've received, we have to give. And maybe we feel convicted today that I need to give. I've been given so much, it's time for me to share back. If that's one of you all this morning, we want to offer you now as we stand and sing an opportunity to make things more than fair. Please stand as we stand.
376 in your Burgundy songbooks. 376.